So I remember when I first accepted the invitation to go to England in 1977, and Lungpa Cha came with me, and so I thought, this will be a good chance to see how Ajahn Chah fares in a foreign country, because I'd only seen him in Thailand, and by that time he was quite famous, and so everybody around him would scurry and they'd be bowing and crawling in front of him, and there was just so much respect, and everybody'd be doing everything for him all the time. And so I thought, well, you know, in Thailand, he probably is used to this. This is the way it's done. The cultural conditions allow this. But in England, I can't see this happening. Wonder how he will respond to being in Europe. But the wonderful relief when I realized that he was as equally relaxed in Europe as he was in Thailand. And I remember one incident was that we were flying on the Thai International Airways, and in those days they didn't have direct flight, so we took off from Bangkok and landed in Karachi, and so in Pakistan. So taking off from Pakistan, there was one of the tires of the landing. That they land on, the landing gear exploded as we took off. So then we had to land in Rome. And so there's this warning of, you know, that there's something wrong with the airplane and that we were going to land. And we had to take all these emergency measures. So I had to explain it all to Ajahn Chah, and he had to take his teeth out and he had to strap him in and pull the seat over his back. And he was... And all the people on the plane, Thai people, were frightened, and they were begging Ajahn Chah, please save us, you know. And and he seemed quite amused by the whole procedure, you know. And I think he was expecting us to crash, you know. But anyway, what they had to do, they had to fly over the Rome airport on low, and they could see they lowered the landing gear and they could see what was wrong. There's only one flat tire, and so they landed. It was a bit bumpy, but nothing more than that. So then we all had to leave the airplane while they repaired it, and so we had to, and we were the last ones off the plane. And getting off the plane, all the Thai people that had been begging Ajahn Chah to pray for them didn't say anything after that, after they were saved. They just left. They didn't even look at him. And they were all looking at the beautiful hostess. So Lungpa Cha said, see, Sumedho, he said, when they're in trouble, they come to me, but when they're not, they like the pretty women. So then we went in, and we had to get on one of these transport buses, you know, and where you stand up and you hold on to a rail. And since we were the last ones in, we were walking toward this, and where we had to enter were all women standing there. And of course, in Thailand, they've got very strict rules, and the proximity to women is very strict, so you're not supposed to stand next to them or touch them or let them touch you. So I thought, oh, I wonder what Lungpa's going to do with this one. You know, he's going to have, if he goes in there, he's got to stand right next to these women. And so I watched him, and he kind of looked around and observed the scene, and then I saw him kind of just suddenly make up his mind, and he walked straight on to the thing and stood right next to them without any kind of feeling of mood change or disgruntlement. But it was a sign of his ability to adapt to the irregularities or the differences, because you'd think someone so conditioned, so highly conditioned by the Thai social etiquette and around monks, and then having, this was his first experience in a non-Buddhist country, and yet he had an inner sense of wisdom to know how to respond to contingencies of all sorts. So, and one other incident was we'd gone Bindabat on the alms round, and he said we should go even if we don't get anything. So, and we weren't expecting anything, so we'd go out in the morning. One morning we were living in a house in London, in Hampstead, which is northwest London, and we were coming down this street, the main street, Haverstock Hill, and as we were coming down, I was behind Ajahn Chah and the other monks behind me, so there were these boys who were getting very aggressive and threatening and shaking their fists and making fun of us, and they started coming close like they were going to kick Ajahn Chah, and so I was kind of getting myself prepared. I didn't quite know what I was going to do, but I was, you know, I was very quite distressed by this myself, and so anyway, I was wondering, what should I do, you know, and I was trying to be as close to Ajahn Chah as possible. And then suddenly they left. These boys just left. And I don't know what happened. Maybe the police came or what, I don't know. But anyway, they disappeared. And so I rushed around to Lungpo Cha, and I noticed he was smiling. And I said, did that bother you? And he said, very interesting, very good Dhamma. So this was to see the way he could relate. And in England, for example, he didn't just seek the company of Thai people. He really wanted to know the English. So he was quite open and interested in everything that was going on. And it was very interesting to travel with him, because he would be seeing things in a way that would be new to me. Because even though I'd never lived in England, it was still close enough to my own background here, cultural background, that it wasn't, you know, I could easily fit into it. But for someone who came from northeast Thailand from Thai Forest Monastery and into a big city like London, we took him to Paris, and he remained the same, and but he was so interested in the way people walked or looked, and he kept noticing how fast everybody walked, and I remember we were up in Edinburgh, and he kept looking at these old people, and they were walking along the street kind of rapidly, kind of pushing themselves along the street. He says, even the old people here walk too fast. Now, I wouldn't have really noticed that, but then he would look at Edinburgh and he says, Stone City. Because all the buildings are made out of stone. And he would pick up on the kind of things that were kind of completely new to him. And seeing like from a mind of someone who hadn't any kind of biases or prejudices or preconceptions.